This podcast is made possible by Last Word on Sports. You can follow them on Twitter at Last Word on Sport. Even friend them on Facebook. Last Word on Sports Radio. Last Word on Sports. Favorite podcast in the entire world is back, the Four Seasons Podcast. I'm still Ryan Mogjosh, still with Zach Noble. Zach, what's up?
Wow, Ryan, I'm not ready to be that aggressive yet, but I like the spirit. All right. We're gonna stay humble here, but that's starting it off fire, putting a lot of pressure on us.
This is going to live up to the hype, though. We got redrafting season. We're going to redraft three draft classes. That being 2007, 2011, and 2015. We're going to go in chronological order, and we're going to start with the 2007 draft. And to keep it simple and to keep it safe, we're going to do top five first, go back and forth with me and Zach's top five. Then we're going to go 6 through 10 and then 11 through 15, just to make it simple. So you want to start off with your 2007 top five?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was really excited for this episode when we were brainstorming. We wanted to be creative. It's the off season. We can talk about whatever we want right now, which is fun.
Yes.
The last episode, we really got people stirred up and had a lot of good feedback and a lot of debate stirring. So hopefully this gets people thinking. It hopefully made me, more knowledgeable.
Absolutely, yeah. And all that is good. All that disagreement is good. Like, when you guys tweet back at us and say you disagree, there's no way that the 2004 Pistons are getting swept, I love it. Even though I haven't gotten swept, I love it. I love arguing back and forth, so keep that up.
Yeah, I know. It's been a lot of fun. So hopefully this is another topic that stirs up some debates and makes you really think back on these role players and how good or bad these drafts were and what everybody's thoughts were. So a couple fun facts to start. I mean, until 1997, 32% of all number one picks were Hall of Famers. And since last year, only 7 second-round picks turned into Hall of Famers. So,
wow.
Virtually, like, what I take from that stat is up until lately, like the 2000s, the second round mean very little, don't you think?
Yeah, also that stat, the first thing it said to me was that scouting has maybe gotten better. People are taking their pick more seriously, or in the past, maybe a late first rounder wouldn't really, not necessarily not matter, but people wouldn't value it as much as they do now.
Yeah, I also found out in 1968 that draft, for some reason, had 21 rounds.
What?
Yeah, so I got to go back and figure out why that was.
That's like baseball. Well,
yeah, exactly, what came about. Question for you, though. What do you think the average pick number is of Rookie of the Year, that wins Rookie of the Year every year?
Huh, that's interesting. The way you stated it makes me not want to say number one overall.
I didn't try to be like that, but what do you got?
I'll just throw out 3.
That's conservative. That's fine. It's 4.4.
4.4, so, not bad.
Yeah, that's higher than I would have guessed. I mean, I think 3 is a very fair answer. But, yeah, just some fun facts I learned while researching this stuff. But diving into 2007, so this was, I thought, a pretty solid top 10. The top 5 was really good. I really like the top 5 here. I think there should be three or four Hall of Famers coming out of this draft. It got really bad in the second round. A couple of solid undrafted free agents that are still around. We got Joel Anthony, Gary Neal, and Mirza Teletovic still hanging around.
Wow.
Yeah, that's pretty solid to have 3 good players like that and role players.
Especially in 2007, that was quite a bit ago.
You got it, yeah. That's roughly, I mean, these guys have been in the league 10 years. Not roughly, they have been.
Right.
So my top 5, This guy they made, I mean, starting off, he was the number two pick of the draft coming out of Texas. Tall, lengthy guy. They made a lot of fun of him in the combine because he couldn't lift any weights. It's pretty funny. I remember that very clearly.
Me too. But I was going to be worried about our partnership here if you didn't have KD number one.
Exactly. Yep. So Kevin Durant number one, which is surprising. I mean, they took Greg Oden over him that year. That was kind of shocking.
That's
but
wild.
Number two and three. Yeah, number two and three. Very close for me. Really close careers. Tough. But I went number two, Marc Gasol out of Spain. And he was the 48th pick in that draft. So he was my second pick. Number three, the guy that was close to him, Al Horford. He was the number three pick in that draft, junior out of Florida. But so he went at the same exact spot. So the Atlanta Hawks did a great job picking him. And that's, if you're drafting the same spot or they're higher in a redraft, that means you did very well.
You nailed it, absolutely.
So number four, I have Mike Conley out of Ohio State. He was also the fourth pick in that draft. But it's a shame. Mike Conley, yeah, he's a max player. He's deservedly a max player, in my opinion. But he's also deservedly an all-star, which is just complete crap. He's never been an all-star.
It sucks, but the point guard position is so loaded that, I mean, I don't know. I agree with you, though. He's an all-star caliber player for sure.
Oh, when you got guys like DeAndre Jordan getting in, please.
He picked the right position and the right height to be as a kid, I guess.
Exactly. Exactly. And then my number fifth, I mean, the top five is no-brainer. If you don't have all these guys in the top five, if you had anybody else sneaking in, there's something wrong here as well. but we got Joakim Noah, same Al Horford, Corey Brewer team. That team was so fun in college. But Corey Brewer, we'll talk about him a little later. But Joakim Noah was the ninth pick in the draft. I'm drafting him five here out of Florida.
I like it. We have the exact same except for a little swap. I have Conley 3 and Horford 4. I knew you'd have Horford above Conley just because you love the Boston Celtics, whatever. KD 1, Gasol 2. Gasol being 48th overall is an absolute steal. Overseas guy that panned out. Well done there. Conley 3, Horford 4, and Noah is a two-time All-Star, three-time All-Defensive Team, and Defensive Player of the Year in, I think, 2013, 2014, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Very good, solid years around that 13-14, going back to 2012 even. And then he's kind of tailed off, obviously. Now his roster, or his deal right now is a nightmare. And obviously that makes him a huge overrated player. Can't stay healthy these days, but in his prime, he was a solid player.
Yeah, I mean, he finished in the top five in MVP voting. Everybody forgets about that.
That's nuts. Yeah, he was a stat stuffer at one point. He averaged, like, double-digit boards and points for three straight years, I want to say. Yep. Not a bad passer from the post, either.
And I love saying this. Every single one of those guys in the top five is classified as a winner, in my opinion. They've all made the conference finals. And if you make the conference finals, you're a goddamn winner, unless you're supposedly a top five, 10 player in the league.
I love that stat. Great stat.
Yeah, so let's talk about that Mike Conley, Al Horford. It's not because I'm a freaking Celtic fan. Here's why. Oh, injuries had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Al Horford has definitely played in a few more games, but it's close. It's really close, playoff games more so. And yes, he's in the Eastern Conference, but the Eastern Conference, in my opinion, hasn't been that bad until this year that we're currently going into. But Mike Conley is the better player right now, don't get me wrong, but it's very close. I have Conley a top 30, Al Horford a top 35 player. Conley can be much higher. He's good enough to crack top 25 even.
Right,
top
yeah.
20.
That was kind of my thought process going into this. As we redrafted here, 2007 was kind of trickier because you have to take their passing into consideration, which I'm sure that's why you have Horford 3, Conley 4. I have Conley 3, Horford 4 because of the future and going forward. Right now I have Conley with you. I have Conley better than Horford, but I was looking more into the future and the longevity of Conley's career. I think he passed him already, and he will make up for what Horford did earlier in his career. Does that make sense?
Yes and no. Sure, but I don't think either of them are slowing down just yet. Neither of them have shown signs of it. Mike Conley might slow down a little earlier because he, right now, the team he's on, he's not getting much help. He's got to be the engine that runs that thing. Where Horford, he's got a pretty stacked team around him. They're very deep. Regardless, in the bigs, the Celtics aren't very deep right now, so he's a huge part of it. But in that system, I think they're going to be able to go much smaller. And Al Horford, as those bigs develop, he's going to be needing to play less minutes. But also, Al Horford has a much higher, not much higher, but 8 games higher. He's second in this draft class in win share. So that stat kind of put me above. He's also fourth, right above Mike Conley in box plus minus. And then he was higher than him in VORP as well, value over replacement. So those stats to me, that's all factored into my decision, Al Horford over Mike Conley.
I love it. Who's your 6 through 10?
Okay, so number 6, he's out of DePaul. He was the 23 pick, so this guy was a lot of value, but I have Wilson Chandler.
Yes.
I love Wilson Chandler. He's battled some injuries, but he's still a very good role player. I think that he's going to be a big factor in the Nuggets' success this year. Corey Brewer, number 7, and surprisingly, he went number 7 out of Florida. But number 8, this is where things get pretty sketchy for me, but I like my order. I did a lot of homework on this. So number 8, I went Aaron Aflalo because, he's not that great now. But he's been a very valuable. Wyatt shows him his best years were better than the guys below him. He's made it longer than a lot of the guys below him. But also, his role has also contributed to more wins than the guys below him. So Aaron Aflalo was number 8 out of UCLA. He was on those really good UCLA teams. Those were a lot of fun. He was the 27th pick in that draft, and I got him going 8 here. Number 9, I went with Jared Dudley. He was also the 22nd pick, another pretty far down pick that really made a good career.
Yep.
And Jared Dudley, I was out of Boston College. And lastly, the guy that's been fighting a lot, that he's had a really up and down career. I've really enjoyed him when he was great. But just this, he's had a great story. Battling with his heart problems. But number 5 pick in this draft out of Georgetown, Jeff Green. He really fell only 5 spots, but still he's had a solid career. Hopefully LeBron can help raise him again this year, but Cleveland's a complete clusterfuck right now.
I think we touched on it on past podcast. I think LeBron's going to help Jeff Green out a lot with what he does with all his veteran players, but
you're a goddamn believer.
All right. We have a little bit of differences. It's going to be funny. Wilson Chandler, I have at 6. I think that was kind of a no-brainer also, because then after Wilson Chandler, there's a big drop-off.
Yeah, I think I was thinking after Corey Brewer, the drop-off happened. But
yeah, see, I have Brewer a little lower than you, since this is an NBA podcast and his 2 national championships at Florida don't count. I have him sliding. But
what about his NBA championship? He's the only one on this whole list.
He's a ring.
Whole 15. There's 3 guys. Actually, sorry, 4 guys. 4 guys who are NBA champions. That has to stand for something. And he played a valuable role on that team.
It absolutely does. You're right. But the guys above him, either I value more now, the way the game's being played now, and maybe a year or two I took too seriously in their past. But it all makes sense when I say my 6 through 10. 6 is Wilson Chandler. 7, I have Swaggy P. And I'm gonna think that you disagree on that, obviously. But
big time.
The way he is built in the league, a 3-point absolute sniper. He's a happy-go-lucky guy. I love that about him. He's going to get a ring this year, if that counts.
No, he will have no part of that ring.
You don't think so?
I mean, he definitely helped make that team better, yes, but they could have put me or you in that role. And
we'd get a ring.
Probably could have made a couple, shots here and there.
I could spot out from three and hit a couple.
Yeah,
so I have Jeff Green here at 8. And you mentioned it. I think you had him at your last spot, 10. His heart problems kind of derailed his whole NBA career. But in 2009, I did not realize he went off like he did. For Oklahoma City, he averaged 16.5, 6.7 boards, and shot 39% from three.
Oh, he was a big part of that team.
That's so solid. So he's at my 8. I have a Aflalo at 9. You mentioned that earlier. I didn't realize that he was so valuable. In 2013-2014, averaged 18 points a game.
Yep.
Granted, it was for Orlando, who really wasn't doing much, but 18 a game is very solid. And then I have Dudley next at 9. Stretch 4, sharpshooter, just an absolute role guy, glue guy in the locker room, always fun to be around. I've gotten to know his personality through actually JJ. Him and JJ are boys. He had him on the podcast a couple times. So I've grown to like Jared Dudley a lot. And then 10, I have Thad Young. Still making a solid career for himself in the league today. Kind of at a dying breed in that undersized 4 back to the basket post player, which I don't value at all anymore. But based on what he's done in his career now, Thad Young is 10 for me.
Yeah, so not far off, man. We're really close. I had Thad Young at 11, and he was the 12th pick of this draft. But for me, those guys you mentioned that you had ahead of Corey Brewer, Aaron Aflalo, Jared Dudley, and Jeff Green. Jared Dudley's the only guy that really attributed to wins. Those other guys are just stat fillers. Jeff Green on that Oklahoma City team you mentioned, definitely. But here's the thing. Jeff Green, for his career, has a negative box plus minus. So the team is pretty bad when he's on the court.
Yep, and he's been really bad towards like the later part of his year, too. But when I was looking up his stats when we were looking this up, that popped out at me. 16.5, 6.7, and 39% from three. That's very consistent to me, and that's why I have him where I do. But I'm with you.
Like,
he's tailed off.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like, Jared Dudley, he's seventh in this class in win shares. That's a stat I value a lot for everybody out there. Jared Dudley was ninth in box plus minus in this draft. So that's the big part of why I have him. But, yeah, I think our orders are pretty close so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's continue this thing.
Who's your 11-15?
Yep, so 11 was Thad Young. 12, out of Italy, he was the number 18th pick in this draft. But Marco Bellinelli.
I like it.
Yeah, I still like him in the league right now. And that's why I have him very high, because he was a big part of those Spurs teams. Like a really big part,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah, he's a bucket getter. He's hard to guard.
Right, and he's a very valuable role player. Even in the shitty teams in Sacramento and everywhere else he's been very solid. And I think he's in Charlotte now. He should do fine there. But 13, he was the second rounder in this draft, the only second rounder that made the top 15, which is the lottery here. But he was out of LSU, but Big Baby Davis
was
one of the 4 champions in this draft. But he was really good in his Celtics days. Also was good with, Dwight Howard in Orlando. Had some good years there, but like he's really tailed off towards the end of his career. He's not in the league anymore, but he definitely deserves to be in here. He's definitely better than Nick Young.
You know what I think of when I think of Big Baby Davis?
The video of in the hotel?
No, but that's also hilarious. When they won the NBA Finals and him and Nate Robinson, and he was slobbering after that timeout, and they called him Shrek and Donkey because Nate was jumping all over his back. Every single
classic.
Time I picture Big
just,
Baby, that's exactly what I think about.
I can picture Big Baby so often, like, even just, he's a hard guy to take seriously. He really is.
Yep.
He was fun to watch in college, too, but
yes, he was.
There's no way of arguing that his best years were better than Nick Young. Nick Young just put up some decent numbers on some really, really bad teams. Nick Young, I don't think, has ever been in the playoffs till this upcoming year.
He's about to get a ring.
What?
Go ahead. I was just talking about his ring next year again.
Oh, yeah. It's such a big accomplishment for the guy. But here's your boy coming in at number 14, Nick Young, which is two spots higher than he was originally drafted at 16, junior out of USC. He was with an O.J. No, was he with O.J. Mayo? Who was he playing with in college?
I can't remember what class he was in, but USC produced a lot of good athletes in college, back to back to back. Him and then the DeRozan was the next class.
Yep. And number 15, this guy was a junior out of Colorado State, got originally drafted number 20. Still putting up solid work as a role player. He got some starter minutes at times, but right now he's in Washington. That's Jason Smith. But I think he's played a very important role on a lot of playoff teams and definitely been hanging around.
I like that. We have very similar ones again. I have Brewer at 11. And after what you said about his success and his ring, and you persuaded me that I had him a little too low.
Good to hear. And also, if you go back and look, he had some pretty good scoring numbers when on some bad teams like these other guys here.
Yep. So Brewer 11. I have Bellinelli 12, bucket getter, hard to guard, sniper from three. I have a guy that you don't have at 13, and that's Josh McRoberts. Still has a job in the NBA. Huh?
What was his original pick? I'm looking at it right. Let's see. Josh
37 overall.
Oh, wow. There's your second rounder.
Yep. 37 overall. And the Heat have been depleted in roster spots. And that's part of the reason why some of their guys have earned their spot. And he's one of them. He took his opportunity and he seized the moment, got some good playing time, and continues to get some playing time there. 14, I have Spencer Hawes, who has been a decent role guy. Big 7-footer, can protect the rim at times, looks a little clumsy but and slow of foot, but he can step out and hit some mid-range jumpers also. And then I have Jason Smith at 15, just like you did. He had some valuable minutes this playoff run. I was really impressed with him when he filled in for Ian Mahimi when he's been gone and hurt. Jason Smith stepped in and hit a couple big shots and got some key wins in that Wizards-Celtics series for the Wizards.
Dang. I'm sorry. I would still probably take Glenn Davis over Ian Mahimi.
You think so? I'll honorable mention Glenn Davis.
What's that?
I'll honorable mention Glenn Davis.
All right. I can appreciate that. And honestly, though, Ian Mahimi, I definitely don't think he deserves to be on this list. Wouldn't you rather right now have Jason Smith over Ian Mahimi?
Yes.
Okay. And who is the other guy? Spencer Hawes. Him and Josh McRoberts have both been pretty injured throughout their careers. I don't think they've attributed many wins. And their stats overall are very close to Glenn Davis and Jason Smith. But, they're still hanging around in the league, so that's got to count for something.
Right. And, we did 15 picks based on basically the lottery, what the draft is. The lottery is the top 15. And once you get down to the 10 through 15, you're just nitpicking at stuff, especially in the year 2007. So I feel like we did a pretty good job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And if we're drafting on potential anything left, Jason Smith, Spencer Hawes, and Josh McRoberts are all pretty close right there. So.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. You want to start off 2011?
Yeah, definitely. So 2011, this was definitely the best draft. The drafts are going in order for me, but the best draft at the top. Definitely.
Very powerful at the top, yes.
Right. Of these three drafts, absolutely. But the top 15 is way better than the one we just went over. Way better than 2007.
Yep, I agree.
Good. I like to note a couple undrafted free agents that are still hanging around. And that's Justin Holiday. He's still a very good role player.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight Bucks. And then Malcolm Delaney.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's both these drafts have three guys still in the league, which is, 6-7 years in now. These guys, what is this going to be? Kawhi is going on his, this will be their seventh year. So I'm glad we chose three drafts spread out. Makes it interesting talking about these players at different stages in their careers.
Exactly. That was your point. It adds an interesting dynamic to when we talk about these. Just like we said, 2007, you have to take account in their past. 2011 was fun because they're right in their prime right now. You said it, seventh season. And then the 2015 one is more projecting.
For sure. And so this top five, I know we're going to have probably some players mixed around a little bit, I'm sure, throughout this entire 15. We're going to be probably going at it a little bit here. But the top five, I mean, there's nobody else you can have in this top five. It's literally these five or nobody. But we're going to have a different order. I know that.
Yes,
so
we are.
Number one, no brainer. Out of San Diego State, he was a sophomore there. A lot of people didn't think he should leave, but he squeaked in the lottery there. He is the number 15th pick, and that's Kawhi Leonard. Since 2007, this was just a remarkable stat. Every team besides the Spurs have been in the lottery. That's 10 years. So every team besides the Spurs have been in the lottery based on performance.
Huh.
How crazy is that?
That is wild.
And in all time, how many lottery picks do you think the Spurs have had?
Oh, geez. They've been consistently great. All time? Six.
No, three, but that's not a bad guess.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. It is insane. So the fact that they were able to steal the number one pick in a trade for George Hill was pretty amazing.
That's just that's the Spurs way. It's just a Spurs thing to do.
Yep. So, number two, right, I chose this guy. He's a senior out of Marquette because he's the second best player. It's arguable, but I have him as the second or third best player on this list. And the player, it's funny, my two through five, like, I don't have them in order as the best players right now. But my two and three were a big debate, but I chose Jimmy Butler at number two. He's the 30th pick in this draft, last pick in this first round. And I chose him. I mean, yes, he's better than Klay Thompson right now. He's more consistent. He's put up better overall numbers last year. I think he's got a higher ceiling. He's attributed to more wins, honestly. And Klay Thompson, I mean, just had a really bad playoff seat last year. So that, I mean, that just leaves a sore spot in my mouth with the big sample size there. But Jimmy Butler, his defense just as good as Klay's, if not better. But Jimmy Butler's ceiling is amazing. I think I'm looking at a sleeper. Honestly, he had like the, I think not even in the top 30 for MVP odds. And I'm looking at making a bet on him.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah, because I think Jimmy Butler, if the Wolves finished in the top four and say Jimmy Butler averaged 26, 7, and 6, I think that would put him in the top five MVP voting.
He'll get some serious, yeah, I agree.
Cool. So Jimmy Butler there. Klay Thompson isn't the third best player right now in this draft. These other two guys are better than him currently. The other two guys I have behind him. But Klay Thompson is number three because of his past performances, but also what his future. So Klay Thompson goes to another team. He's more value, almost more valuable than these guys. And I think his ceiling's higher because of his defense, because of the role he can bring to a team. I just think he's got what you need. He's basically a 3-and-D guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he can do so many things defensively. And, I mean, I think he's just a great scorer offensively when he needs to be. But here's a fun thing to talk about with you. Before last year, 14 consecutive years, at least one son of a former NBA player got drafted.
That's crazy.
I thought that was an amazing stat.
That is.
So, would you want to try naming some of these guys or no?
I have no shot, honestly.
That's all right. So, I'm just going to give you some of these guys because it's fun to think about. But dating back to 2002, you got Mike Dunleavy. You got Luke Walton, Jackson Vrohman, I'll name just the notables here. 2006, Al Horford, Patrick Ewing Jr., Stephen Curry in 2008, Ed Davis 2010, Klay Thompson 2011, Austin Rivers 2012, Tim Hardaway Jr., Andrew Wiggins, Jabari Parker 2013, 2014, Devin Booker, Jerry and Grant, and there were caught three others in that draft as well. And then 2015, Justice Winslow and Larry Nance Jr.
Jeez, that's like a, you could do a father-son all-star game with that.
Oh, absolutely. There's
some studs in there.
Yeah, so that was, I loved seeing that stat. That was a lot of fun. So number four and five, this was the hardest one for me. Isaiah Thomas right now is the second best player in this draft class right now as we speak, in my opinion. It's close between him and Jimmy Butler, but that's just because he attributes to so many wins. He's an amazing offensive player, but there's a lot of arguments. But I chose him over Kyrie Irving because, one, I mean, lately this – I had Kyrie Irving when I first made this. I really did. But Isaiah Thomas did have the better year last year, so he's better right now. He was the 60th pick in the draft out of Washington. Me and you touched on Isaiah, Kyrie, and I proved to you with all the facts how much of a better year Isaiah Thomas had last year. But Isaiah Thomas, when you look back at it, this is the most interesting thing. If you look back at it, actually, and you're thinking about this redraft, you're thinking about who's going to have the better career going forward too. Isaiah Thomas, people love to play with him. He's a great teammate. And Kyrie Irving, this is what set him back. So I think this might have a little stone on Kyrie Irving's career going forward. I really do. I don't know how good of a teammate he is. But Isaiah Thomas, if you look back from the beginning, his per 36 numbers are better. And people don't realize how good he was in the few minutes he had in Sacramento and Phoenix. They just screwed up by not playing him enough. But his per 36 and per 100 numbers are basically identical and a slight edge in basically most categories over Kyrie Irving. But they're all just hand in hand. They're such a very close comparison because they're both horrible defenders, great offenders. Oh, I love saying that word, offenders. So that was all the rationale in my pick there. But Kyrie Irving's number five. He was the number one pick in this draft, and which isn't that far of a drop, being the guys ahead of him are so good as well.
Yeah.
But he was the number one pick, freshman out of Duke. Kyrie Irving's also had a lot more injuries in the past than Isaiah Thomas. So, and on top of that, he's also played roughly 1,000 more minutes than Isaiah Thomas in his career. So age really doesn't matter in this instance.
Right, yeah. A lot of those minutes didn't add up to Isaiah Thomas early in his career because he didn't start. He was a six-man a lot of places
exactly.
He passed around with. Same five as me, but just a big mix of the order. Kawhi, obviously, number one. He's the best two-way player in the game right now, and I think that his future is even brighter than what he's already done.
Time out. Do you know what you just said there?
What?
Think about it.
Kawhi is the best two-way player in the game?
Yeah, it's arguable. It really is, but
you don't think so?
I'm still going Kevin Durant.
You are. Kevin Durant's made really big strides defensively. His offense always has been no question. Nobody can guard Kevin Durant. The strides that Kawhi has taken offensively has put me at Kawhi 1, KD 2. I'm okay with saying 1A, 1B. It's that close. But Kawhi guards anyone. Ask him to go out and do anything. Stop anyone. Besides Kevin Durant, I think he could do it.
So they're both so high on the list that at 2 and 3, in my opinion, as the second and third best players because of their defense. The guys behind them, you can have them over them because of their offense or whatever. But Kawhi this year, I think by the end of this year, I might agree with you. Kawhi's the best, second best player in the world. But who knows? Durant could also be getting much better. I don't know I don't know anybody that probably puts in more work than Kawhi. I just think he puts in so much work. And the rate he improves at, it's such an amazing feat. It's unbelievable how he improves so much every year. I think it sky's the limit for the guy. And he's definitely going to be one of my top three MVP picks next year when we make our awards. He'll be up there. But Kevin Durant, I just think he's got too much of an edge offensively, and he does enough defensively. Just hasn't gotten the recognition in the past.
Absolutely. I could go on about this for hours, but KD was in 2007 and Kawhi's in 2011. So, Kawhi number one. I have Jimmy at number two. Also, the factor of him being a two-way guy, I think that he's going to surprise a lot of people with his dominance this year and his kind of a new role that he's going to have in Minnesota, kind of tutoring younger guys, being a leader with younger guys. I think he's going to flourish in that position. And he'll only improve. I have Kyrie 3 here. And you had him at 5. I have Kyrie 3 because I don't think he's reached his max potential at all.
No, I don't either.
I think he's going to blow up wherever he goes. I don't think it's going to be in Cleveland, but wherever he goes and he's the guy, I think he'll put up crazy stupid numbers. Might not amount to wins, but crazy stupid numbers.
Right, and what matters in basketball if you're not putting up wins?
Nothing.
You know?
Nothing.
Exactly.
But these are individual players, and that's why I'm talking individual stats. If we're talking teams, that's different.
But we're building our teams because when you draft, you're building your team to win.
If and I could so, build my team around Kyrie Irving and make sure I have good role guys, I'm going to do it. Over
right,
these guys.
I can do the same with the other two.
So, Clay, I have 4. Because he's 6'7". Before I go on, how many points do you think Clay averaged last year?
It was 22.
Yes, and I'm sure you looked that up, so that's good for
no,
you.
No, I didn't. I know that. Really? I know my stats.
You just watching and looking at the Warriors roster, I would think that that's much lower. But
he just scores so easily.
22.3 points per game. He is shooting a career 3-point percentage of 42%. Unreal. I've looked at his scoring over his entire career, and he's gone up every single year of his career. Always improving, no matter who he has on his roster. He just got the second best player in the world on his roster and still averaged 22.3. And then 5, I have your boy, Isaiah Thomas. He had a career year last year. If he can play at that level for 2 or 3 more years, I will move him up right on this board. But I think that he will never do what he did again last year. And if he ever is going to do it again, it's this year. It's his contract year. This is the year to do it. I just don't see it happening. I think he's a defensive liability, and I think him being 4'11 really hurts.
Tough. Real tough with that 4'11 jab. Real tough.
He gets shorter Irving's every time not, I talk about him.
Kyrie Irving's not that tall either, and he's just bad at defense. But we'll save that for another day. Here's another fun fact for you. Isaiah Thomas is 3rd in this class in win shares, and that's with Klay Thompson behind him. That's insane. That's how valuable he is, and that's attributing. Isaiah Thomas put up more win shares in Sacramento and Phoenix in the small minutes he did than Kyrie Irving and Cleveland getting all of those minutes as the main guy. That shows so much to me, and it's by 5 more games. That's not small when you're talking about players so close. He's also scored more points than Kyrie Irving in his career so far. But the top 5 in win shares, win shares, like I said, it's one of the most important stats to me. But Kawhi Leonard was number 1 by 6. And then you got Jimmy Butler, Isaiah 3, Kyrie Irving is 4, and then Klay Thompson. So, that says it all right there. But then you got box plus minus. And those guys are all top 5 besides Klay Thompson is way down in box plus minus. He's number 11. So those are all interesting things there. But let's move on.
Go ahead. 6 through 10.
Okay. So 6, this is the last one of like a guaranteed spot in my opinion. You can definitely argue those top 5, but like guaranteed in six up. But that's Kemba Walker out of UConn. He was the ninth pick in this draft. He was a junior. But I still think we haven't seen the best of Kemba. He just hasn't attributed to many wins. Regardless, his teams haven't been that great either. But I have high hopes for Charlotte this year. I really do. Seven, I got this. This is where things get interesting. Seven through 15.
Yes, it is.
And I can't wait to hear your take on this as well. But number seven, because of the position he plays, the potential he has, the system he's in, I think he's going to have a great year. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I just don't know about his work ethic. That's the only thing that worries me. He's out of Tennessee. Came in as a freshman. He was the 19th pick in this draft, and that's Tobias Harris.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think the reason why I have him there, he might not be the best. I think he's still the best player, better than the guys below him. But he also has the highest potential, more potential than anybody lower than him as well. But number eight, Nikola Vucevic. He was the 16th pick in this draft. He was out of USC. Not many people know that. Came out as a junior. But number nine and 10, these guys, go hand in hand. They were the 13th and 14th pick in the draft. They have all the same tattoos. Hung out with them a little bit in college. Beat them in beer pong. Had some fun. But they were both juniors coming out. They're one of the most fun Kansas teams I've ever seen. But Markieff Morris, just like the way they came out, Markieff with the slight edge over Marcus.
I like it. I also have Kemba 6. But I have Markieff and Marcus 7 and 8. I slid them a little higher. Obviously, it's Marcus that's Boston, right?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah, Markieff is the Wizard. I knew that. Marcus, I think that it's a great switch. Change of scenery to Boston, who desperately needed rebounding help. He averaged 14-5. And the last 3 years, anywhere from 35 to 38% from three. They both have very similar skill sets. Obviously, drafted 13 and 14 in the actual draft. I have them 7 and 8 here. I have Tristan Thompson, 9. Kind of undersized, and I'm a stickler for undersized guys. I think size, and especially in today's basketball, is so important, and you just can't teach it. So when you have it, along with a good skill set, that just trumps being a shorter player that kind of lacks. And then 10, I have an asterisk next to this because I wanted to ask you about the injury factor. So I have Chandler Parsons at 10. And in this redraft, I'm drafting based on that he won't have the same injury luck, if that makes sense.
Please, that's a horrible.
And if he doesn't have the same injury luck, and he's the Chandler Parsons of 2013-2014 that I know he can get back to.
2 years.
This is a player that averaged 16.6, 5.5 boards, and 4 assists on 37% shooting from 3. And he's 6'10". Oh, wow. He's 6'10". He can play 3 or 4. And I mean, in 2013 and 2014, he played 76 and 74 games. So that was before his injury luck, and that's the Chandler Parsons I'm drafting 10 in this redraft.
Yeah, I know you like Chandler Parsons a lot. Mm-hmm. Him and J.J. Redick are your boys. But Chandler Parsons, you know how many players have put up those numbers? The Morris twins basically put up those numbers too, and they've actually attributed to a couple wins. but Chandler Parsons, yes, Chandler Parsons, definitely he made the playoffs when he did good, so he was a part of wins as well.
He was. He was on that good Rockets team, and he was the third-tier guy, averaging 16-5-4.
I just don't think he's going to recover. I don't want him on my team over those other guys ahead of him.
I mean, his contract is what makes people pissed off about it, is he's getting a shit ton of money, and he's just chilling with it.
You got it. And I do, he has a lot of potential, but I think it's definitely decreased a lot with his injuries. But yeah, when he's his best of the best, I think he had so much more potential than he's reached yet.
So much potential. And I'm not giving up on him. I think he can get better, and he can get back to the prime 2013 years.
Yeah, and Chandler Parsons on this list, but barely made it. These other guys have done a lot more, a lot longer times, and they're still healthy. So the other pick I want to talk to you about is Tristan Thompson at 9. I mean, I'm not far off. He's on my list as well. But Tristan Thompson isn't very good in the playoffs. I definitely am not taking him over the Morris twins going forward. I'm not taking him over Vucevic or you had him over Tobias Harris even.
Yeah, see, Tobias has got to show me more. I have him at 11, but I mean, I think he's got some upside. He hasn't done much.
I think he's done just as much as Tristan almost.
He's won a ring?
Hey, but here's the thing, and I will give you this. Tristan Thompson is, like, he had a valuable, like, he's a part of a lot of wins in the regular season. He's a part of, he's had some good first, second round series. His size gets exposed as he goes on, but yes. He's sixth in this draft in win shares, and so that says something to me. So I definitely value that. He's got a negative box plus minus. Only 12 guys in this entire draft had a positive box plus minus. So that was interesting to me as well. But yeah, Tristan Thompson, I mean, do you think he's going to get much better?
No, I don't. But he's a guy on your team, like you said. You can't play him against elite lineups, death lineups. But regular season, early rounds in the playoffs, he's a workhorse. He'll get you 11, 12 boards a game. He'll get 3 offensive rebounds a game, extra possessions. And that's why he's 9. It's not like he's top 5 or anything.
No, and that's fine. Like I said, these last few are close, but these other guys just have so much more potential. And, I mean, you can agree to that, right?
Yeah, potential, yes.
And that's a big part of what a draft is about. I mean, these guys have only been in the league 6 years, so they've got a lot. They haven't even reached their peak, most of them. But as we move on, 11, he was the 3rd pick in this draft. He was a one-and-done player out of Kentucky. But I have Enes Kanter. He's definitely fallen, but he's such a good offensive talent. Doesn't get enough minutes because he's as good as we've touched on in the past pods, that as good as he is offensively, he's just as bad defensively.
Exactly.
So that's why he's number 11, but I think that's a solid position for him. 12, Corey Joseph. I think he's done a lot in the NBA. He's a very good role player, great backup, and almost good enough to start on some bad teams even some good teams that just don't have a point guard and good talent around him. Mm-hmm. He's not going to turn the ball over. He can score. He can basically do everything at a good level, nothing great. But he was the 29th pick in the draft out of Texas as a freshman. He really improved his stock for me. I think he's one guy. I don't think he's going to get much better, but I think he's going to be this good for a while. So 13, that's where I had Tristan Thompson. He was the 4th pick in the draft out of Texas. He's definitely didn't live up to the hype, but that's mostly because of his size. But I like Tristan Thompson a lot. It just really frustrates me how he can't do what he does in the regular season when it matters the most, or else he'd have so much value in the league. He reminds me. I mean, he had like Dennis Rodman potential. He's just not Dennis Rodman at all. I mean, that's how he plays.
Right.
But 14 out of Lithuania, he's the 5th pick in this draft. He can be so good at times, and he can be so bad at times as well. Definitely, he's just so inconsistent. But Jonas Valanciunas, I like him, and then I just hate him. And then lastly, number 15th pick is your boy, Chandler Parsons. Like I said, everybody else has just done way more than him. And Chandler Parsons was the 38th pick in the draft, so he's the only second rounder besides Isaiah Thomas that made the lottery in my draft.
That's okay. Isaiah's pretty forgetful. It's all right. He forgot about him. Yeah, that's interesting. This draft was loaded. A lot of good quality in the teens and then even in the low 10, 11, 12 range. I had Tobias, your boy, at 11. he hasn't done enough, really. I think that his potential is sky high. I think he's going to be a big part of what Detroit does going forward. I have Cantor at 12. Like you said, can't stand his defense, but he is a rebounding machine and an offensive threat. Reggie Jackson at 13. He had a really off year, and I would have had him higher, maybe crack the top 10, had he not shit the bed last year. Because going in last year, towards the end of the season, he was a freak. He was the Detroit offense. He was the entire team.
Yeah, he just had one good year, really. And Oklahoma City, he didn't do enough for me there. Yeah. Definitely, I think every single guy that we've named has done more than him.
I have Vucevic at 14. I might have him a little too low, but this just 11 through 15 was tough for me.
Oh, it's very tough, very tough.
But Vucevic 14, he's done some solid things for me on FanDuel, and that's why he squeaked in. And then I have Shumpert at 15. Great role player, can knock down threes, a bulldog on defense, a good role player. Didn't look at his win shares, but I bet it's up there. And a super athlete, an underrated athlete. Honorable mention, I want to point out, I did write down an honorable mention. That's Corey Joseph. You talked about him already, but he's always solid.
Yeah, so Iman Shumpert was 24th in this draft in win shares. Not bad, but as the 17th pick in the draft, so pretty close to where he got drafted. Shumpert is one guy I think he could compete with Chandler Parsons as that 15th spot, because I do think Shumpert might have a better and longer rest of his career than Chandler Parsons. What do you think about that?
See, I'm a Parsons believer.
You are, so that's tough.
Yeah, so it's tough to project, but if we're being realistic, I don't know
that's
how.
What I like.
I don't know how sound I am on Chandler Parsons going back to his normal form. His body's frail. He's 6'10". I'm just hopeful for him, you know?
Yeah, and something else to note, like the last, in 2007, for instance, that draft, only 49 players at least played 1 year in the NBA or at least one game in the NBA, and 49 of them were this one, much better, I mean, overall, but this one had 54 players who played at least one game, one season, and then it just goes up more each year compared to 2007. But some other very notable players in this draft, I mean, that are still in the league, a lot of them. I mean, you got guys like Alec Burks, you got Monta Junis, Kenneth Faried, Marshawn Brooks was around for a while, not even more. Norris Cole's hanging in and out, Bogdanovich, Kyle Singler. So, I mean, this is a very solid draft overall, like drafting players that are playing at least over 3 years.
Absolutely. I was just looking at that too, and just one word that comes out when I look at this is quality. You forgot John Luehr down there, who's getting really good minutes. I was tempted to put him in my top 15. And Davis Bertans, role player for San Antonio, picked 42. This draft is really deep, and there's some hidden gems in there late rounds.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, last but not least, maybe my favorite redraft that we did, 2015.
Yeah, this one was a lot of fun, and I really, obviously this one's all about, I mean, potential, most of it. I mean, the top 5 to 7 are about how good they are right now, but everybody else is all about potential, and that's what makes this redraft fun. These players have only been in the league 2 years, so it's like, who are the best players we want to start our franchise with? That's exactly how we look at this.
And I'm a sucker for projecting and hypotheticals and what ifs. My imagination just runs wild. It's my 2K in me building a franchise on 2K. I'm a sucker for this, so let's go.
Yeah, so this draft, I mean, this one, I mean, very good overall. And I think these players are going to last a long time. Like, towards the top, it's going to be very good, is what I'm saying. But well, I just touched on this. Only 42 players have only played a game in this draft. And that's insane compared to those other ones, 49 and 54.
That is. I think it's still early. A lot of these guys are draft and stash guys from overseas, too, that in 2011, those guys have come over. Davis Bertans, obviously one of those guys. I see a lot of that in this draft also.
No, you're right. Like, Seti Osman was the 44th pick, just came over with the Cavs, but a lot of these guys are D-leaguers yet and playing in, on solid teams overseas, so that's saying something. But number one is a no-brainer, in my opinion. There's only one guy you can maybe argue him, but he's only one of five international number one picks all time. So that's interesting. He's out of Dominican Republic, the only Dominican Republic number one pick ever. He's a UK freshman, and that's Karl Anthony Towns. Yours truly has the number one pick. But he, it's either him or Giannis if you're going young players under 25 who you want to start your team with, and we've touched on this in the past. But number two, top two are no-brainers in my opinion. It's him and Kristaps Porzingis out of Latvia. And Kristaps was the number four pick in this draft, which still boggles my mind. So number three, this one was also a no-brainer. It gets tricky after this, in my opinion. But number three was Devin Booker. He was the 13th pick in this draft out of Kentucky. Number four and five was really tough for me. I went this way because I think he's going to have a better career. I'd still rather draft him. But he was the number three pick in the draft originally out of Ohio State, a senior. But I think he's going to have a monstrous year. Might be a breakout player of the year, most improved. And that's D'Angelo Russell. Five is Miles Turner, the original number 11 pick out of Texas.
Wow. Okay. I think you said Russell was the third pick.
I have him at four, but he was originally the third.
He was two. D-Loading was two. Okafor, three. Okafor was the one of the biggest busts in this entire draft. But that was one of my points. Okafor did not crack my top 15, and he was drafted third overall, and it's fresh in our brains.
Definitely.
But we'll touch on that a little bit later. Cat number one, no-brainer. Kristaps number two, no-brainer. I think Kristaps, he's 7'3". I think he's going to develop on the defensive end and be a legit elite rim protector.
Yep.
Not to mention he already has the ability to step out, shoot threes at a consistent clip. And some of the moves and footwork he has for a 7'3 guy, I can't understand how he does it, but I think he's very special. If Cat wasn't so outstanding, any other draft Kristaps I might put number one.
Yep.
Cat one. Go ahead.
And he could still have a better career, in my opinion. I'm not writing him off. Kristaps is the only other guy in this draft that could finish number one.
It's definitely interesting, and I can see it. But Cat right now is a men amongst boys already, and he's like, what, 21, 22?
Yeah, think about this. 2 years in, Cat's at 20.9 win shares. Well, Miles Turner is second with 11.1. That's how big of a difference. And that's only been 2 years.
That's nuts. Yeah, Cat's a monster. Kristaps, two. Devin Booker, three. 70-point game. Offensive skills through the roof. I hope that he... I don't want him to be stuck on a Phoenix Suns-type team, being last in the Western Conference his whole career. I'm hoping that changes. I'm hoping either he goes somewhere else to a contender, and he can. I see him being a Klay Thompson-type guy without the defense right now. His defense needs a lot of work. But his offense reminds me of Klay a lot, and I think if Klay was on his own, he would have the ability to make plays off the dribble, kind of like Devin Booker does. Booker's got more of a handle, but Booker brunts all the load in the offense right now for Phoenix.
Yeah, think about Devin Booker for Kyrie Irving and him playing right next to LeBron.
Oh, there are so many Phoenix and Cleveland trade scenarios that I just love, but
it's got to happen.
That's another podcast, another time. Four and five we have different. I have Miles Turner at four. I think Miles Turner is your most, definitely a candidate for your most improved player of the year next year. Paul George left Indiana and they got scraps for him. Oladipo is not going to do much and Sabonis is not going to be much help on offense. I think Miles Turner's numbers skyrocket this year in Indiana. I think he's the go-to guy. And then D-Loading, also D'Angelo Russell. I think he's a prime candidate for most improved player. Four and five, right up there. A change in scenery in Brooklyn, and he's absolutely the guy there. I love the trade for Brooklyn. He's their franchise guy, poster child for Brooklyn now. So the only difference we had is form fly flip-flop.
Yep, and I'm okay with you, Miles Turner above Russell. He's definitely the better player right now. I just think Russell, if I had to choose, I think he's going to have a better career point guard spot, a little more important.
Absolutely. I mean, this top five potential is absolutely sky high.
Right.
It's scary to think about.
So what do you think about this take? Like I said, Kristaps could be the only other guy to finish number one in this draft. Devin Booker could finish as high as two. D'Angelo Russell could even finish as high as two yet. I haven't written him off. That's how high I feel on him. And then Miles Turner, I think he could also finish as high as two. So
yeah, I mean, a lot can happen. Injuries happen. Trades happen.
Potential is all I'm saying.
Exactly. Potential, I'm the biggest believer in potential. I go crazy when I think about these guys' future. One through five here, and maybe even throw in my six. But we'll get into that later. It's crazy to think about what they could become soon.
I hope you have the same six.
I don't know if you will.
Because I like this guy a lot. I think he's going to develop into a great offensive player, a stretch player. The defensive side is what scares me. But I have Frank Kaminsky at number six. He was originally the number nine pick out of Wisconsin. So fun to watch in Wisconsin. Just a beast. And he can just step back. Oh, it's fun. But seven... this is where things get interesting. So 7 through 15, and even, like, I have a list I'm going to talk about after this of, like, 10 guys that I feel could even crack this list by the end of their career. That's how good this draft is and how high their potential is. But Frank Kaminsky, after him, this is where it's just all about potential, in my opinion. And only a couple of these guys have done really much right now, but the potential is just so high. So, after Frank, I have Willy Hernan Gomez. He was the 35th pick out of Spain originally. But then number 8, I have Justice Winslow. Number 10 pick originally out of Duke. Number 9, I have Willie Cauley-Stein out of Kentucky, who is originally 6, so he's gone backwards a little bit. But number 10, because this guy has done a lot of work in the playoffs already, that's why I've given him an edge. There's other guys below him that might be better players already, but I think he's pretty polished for a second-year player. But that's Norman Powell, who was definitely the lowest pick in this lottery for me at number 46 out of UCLA.
I love it. I love that you recognize Norm. We'll get to that in a second. We see eye to eye on that, but... We have a different 6 through 10 here, and it's very interesting. And I knew that we would differentiate the most in 2015 because it's based on potential, and it's based on
exactly
what you think. And that's why I was looking so forward to this one. So 6, I have our boy, Oubre Jr. I think that his potential is crazy. He's on a contender already. He got big-time minutes on a big-time stage. He proved to everybody that he can play tough. Crafty lefty. He's going to develop his three-point shot, and he's going to be one of those wing players. I think I tweeted about it earlier today. Everything's so based on small forward position and versatility and guarding multiple guys. He's got size. He's got speed, agility, strength, and offensive skill set. I think that his potential is very, very high. He went 15th originally. I have him 6 here in our redraft. 7, Willie Cauley-Stein. I watched the Kings on the West Coast late night TV on NBA League Pass last night, and it wasn't anything to soak in as far as quality basketball. They had a bunch of young guys trying to get minutes and make their spot. But Willie Cauley-Stein really stood out to me on Sacramento last year. He went 6th overall in the real draft, and I have him 7 here, sliding slightly, but pick and rolls with him rim running is going to be scary. I think he's only going to continue to improve. And defensively, he's already a very decent rim protector, and I see that holding up as well.
Yeah, he's good on both sides of the ball, definitely.
Yes. Justice Winslow at 8. Did you mention him yet?
Yeah, I had him exactly at 8 as well.
Okay, good. That's what I thought. Winslow at 8, I wish he could stay healthy. I hope he's not a Chandler Parsons type guy where we just draft him based on his health. But
he'd be a big what if.
Yes, big what if. And I mean, basically all these guys are big what ifs with a tiny bit of proof already. But Winslow, to me, injuries won't matter. And based on what he did late in Duke and early before his injury, he's another one of those wings that I like. 3 and D guy and being very versatile, allowing him to switch 1 through 4 on picks. 9, Norman Powell. And I'm so happy that you have him up there. 46th overall in the draft. I think he has a very, very solid chance to start in Toronto this year. They got rid of P.J. Tucker.
Yep.
And him and C.J. Miles are going to fight for that starting spot as either the 2 or 3. In their offense, I don't know if you could put DeRozan at the 3. They're kind of small in that 3 position. They're not a prototypical small forward size. But Powell has a ton of playmaking ability, the ability to guard 1 through 3 on defense, and he was lights out in the playoffs last year. That's when I fell in love with him. And then Frank the Tank Kaminsky at 10. You had him at 6, which I thought was pretty high. He is amazing to watch. I appreciate his game so much. Pick and pop 4s are super popular in today's NBA. I just worry about his slow-footedness and his ability to guard more athletic offensive players. That's why he slid kind of to 10 on mine.
Yeah, fair enough. But can you agree he's better than your 6 through 9 right now?
Yeah, he was a senior at Wisconsin, correct?
Yep.
And so he's got the experience on all these guys.
His
production last year, with the exception of Norman Powell, both Norman Powell and Frank produced last year already. But yeah, 6 through 8 for me is more potential based, whereas Frank and Norman Powell have already proved themselves more than those guys.
Yeah, so I'm okay with your order there besides Oubre. But I think Oubre, so honestly, Oubre like deserves to be recognized because he's definitely one of the 10 I did have in my top 15. That's because he's not one of the top 15 best players right now. But he's got sky-high potential. He's just too much of a pretty boy for me. I don't know if he has the work ethic. He does have beautiful eyes, yes.
Very beautiful. Hey, follow him on Instagram if you want to see if he has work ethic. Him and Drew Hanlon have been putting in work this summer.
Yeah, a lot of guys work with Drew Hanlon, but it's what they do outside of him is what I also care about. And I think, I mean, I like work hard, play hard. But it just, from the game aspect, he's not much of a gamer. He's soft.
You think so? Did you watch the Celtics series?
Dude. Okay, anybody can run up and charge somebody.
That is
not
true. It could be fake tough guy. There's a little bit of that. But I think he needed to do that. I think that he is perceived as a pretty boy.
I was all for him doing that. I definitely respected him doing that. But he even did that like a soft guy. he even charged Olynyk like a...
Also, talking about his production, Washington has one of the worst benches in all the league.
I got high hopes for Oubre. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, and when you put him with some of the Brandon Jennings and Bojan Bogdanovic, so which every time he touches the ball, he fires it up, it's hard to be productive with that second-tier guy and that second system guys. So take that into consideration when you're thinking about Oubre and his production for the upcoming years, which I did. Obviously, I have him very high at 6.
Oh, I definitely did too. But that's how all these guys I'm mentioning have a lot of potential. So there might be one guy that I think doesn't have that much potential. I'm going to touch on him right here. But he's just solid now and he's going to be a role player. The big thing is about this top 15 too, and the guys that aren't in it, is opportunity. It's all opportunity. It really is.
Yes.
And some of them, the reason why I don't have them on this list is I just don't see him getting the same opportunity as these guys that already have and will be this year. So that's a big part of it. And if you're not getting an opportunity in your first couple of years, you're probably never going to get it. So I'm going to continue with number 11. I got Josh Richardson, the number 40th pick in the original draft. He was out of Tennessee. He was a senior out of Tennessee. Number 12, the 37th pick in the draft, Rashawn Holmes. He was out of Bowling Green, a senior there. And then 13, this is the one guy I don't think he probably has the least amount of potential out of 25 guys in this draft or whatever, maybe even more, but he's just ready. He's polished in his role. He knows what he's doing. He can definitely contribute to any team, low, contender, whatever, but he has this opportunity. He exploited that, and he's going to continue to just work his ass off. So that's Larry Nance Jr. out of Wyoming. He's a senior there, but he was the 27th pick originally. So a lot of these guys are improving their draft stock already in the first 2 years, which is fun to see. Number 14, I had Ronde Hollis Jefferson, the 23 pick out of Arizona. Definitely have guys that are lower than him with much higher potential, but I think he's done solid work already, and I think he's got a lot of potential as well. But he was a sophomore out of Arizona, just so raw. He's one of the rawest players in this draft, definitely. And then 15, this guy has already done work in the playoffs, in the regular season. He's going to continue to get better. I just hope he can get better defensively. I think he's a very solid offensive player and will continue to improve. And that's Bobby Portis. Coming out, I thought he was going to be more like KG, but not so much.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. But he was great in the NCAA tournament. I like him right now in the NBA. He was the 22nd pick coming out, and to improve seven spots, I think is pretty solid.
Wow, we differentiate a lot here, and I like that.
I do too.
I like all your guys that I didn't mention. I didn't mention Holmes. I didn't mention Richardson. I didn't mention RHJ, and I'm okay with all those guys. But listen to this, and this is kind of biased. Come draft night in 2015, I was a big believer in Stanley Johnson.
Yes, he was going to be one of the guys I'd mentioned.
Yes, and like I said, small forward position, versatile on defense, and he is strong, big, thick defender. I have Stanimal at 11. I hope that Stan Van gives him the opportunity this year. I think him playing with Tobias Harris as a stretch four and Avery Bradley at the two in Detroit would be phenomenal for them. And I just I just hope that he can capitalize on his opportunity. I've been a believer in Stanimal for so long. So I'm not giving up. He's my 11. I was very surprised that you didn't mention your boy here. I have him at 12. Terry Rozier. A lot of that is opportunity. He hasn't gotten it yet with Isaiah Thomas and Marcus Smart at the one primarily.
Correct.
Rozier has gotten some minutes. He's shown that he is super athletic. I think he lacks a little bit of size. I think 6'2 is kind of generous. But
he's
I believe in him.
Though, he's strong. He's a good finisher.
Yep, wiry. I like his potential on both ends of the ball.
Yep.
I think if he got, I mean, the Celtics have debatably one of the best benches in the entire league. I think if he went somewhere else and got the opportunity, he would thrive. Sam Dekker at 13. 6'7", white guy with bounce. Can shoot threes very consistently. I think he had some injury problems this year. Didn't really get to showcase his talents, but he just got traded in that Clippers trade. And so he's in LA now, and I'm really looking forward to him getting more minutes there. A lot of the Clippers are going to have to fight for role spots this year. They have the deepest team that they've had in a while. And so I think Dekker can earn some minutes there. I have Bobby Portis like you do. I have him at 14. He was picked 22nd in this draft initially. I think that he's going to be a very most improved candidate also. Mirotić hasn't done much in Chicago, and he's deteriorating. They got Lauri Markkanen, which kind of worries me. But Portis played a lot of five when Robin Lopez couldn't last year. I like Portis a lot. And then Nance Jr., you said it, super athletic. 27th overall in the real draft. The Lakers are going to be looking up in the future, these next 1, 2, 3 years. Nance kind of worries me about the not having the ability to stretch the floor as much as I'd like, but he's more athletic than maybe their entire roster. And him at the floor when you need rebounds and showtime dunks, I like Nance at 15.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad you mentioned those guys because it's funny. They were in my honorable mention. Those three guys you mentioned, that's Stan Johnson, Terry Rozier, Sam Decker, definitely all have sky-high potential. Stanley Johnson, I'm worried about his opportunity because I thought he should have got it right away. Had a really good summer league. Yeah, that shows how little summer league means at times. And some coaches just don't like playing rookies. They really don't. Stan Van is one of those guys. Yeah. And I hope he plays Luke Kennard this year because he deserves it as well.
Yeah, I forgot to mention him when I was mentioning their 2-3-4. I hope Kennard gets a lot of minutes as well.
Correct. And Stanley Johnson dropped 70 points in a pickup game this summer.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm hoping the best for him, and that's nothing but positivity right there.
All right. I think he's got his highest potential as anybody less six on, honestly.
Yeah.
But Terry Rozier, he's already done enough to be that high up. That's a good pick. But I honestly think he's good enough to start on some teams.
Yeah.
Definitely. But he's going to be a guy to worry about opportunity. Opportunity this year for him, I think, as long as he gets 25-plus minutes, and I know for sure he'll get 20-plus this year, but I don't know if he'll get the full 25.
And you know what? They're going to be in great hands when they don't re-sign Isaiah Thomas.
Come on. We don't need to get in that now.
I'm sorry. I'm picking on Isaiah Thomas a lot this session.
it's not cute. Not cute.
Well, 2007, 2011, and 2015 in the books. Any last words?
Well, I would like to mention the guys we did mention, how good this 2015 draft is. To wrap this up, guys we didn't mention that I have a lot of hopes for, and that's Mario Hezonja. I hope he gets his opportunity this year. Jahlil Okafor, I haven't written you off yet, so please keep fighting, but stay out of trouble, man. Trey Lyles in Denver, he's another one. Jerian Grant, Justin Anderson, DeLon Wright, Montrezl Harrell, Tyus Jones, all you guys, keep fighting. I mean, I think they can play. I think they all have long careers. And then lastly, I want to mention the undrafted free agents. This one's got just as good as any. A couple of these guys still need to be signed. But T.J. McConnell was undrafted. He's getting solid minutes.
Absolutely.
Alan Williams, man, he was in this draft undrafted. And then you got Briante Weber, and then Chason Randall, and Endur from New York last year, who I cannot believe nobody signed him yet.
That's all, yeah. I mean, like we said, 2015 is absolutely loaded with potential. It'll be exciting where some of these guys end up. Zach, as always, well done.
A lot of fun. Till next time.